Thank you, Susie. That was Susie L. Alvarez, great, great host and producer of The Spoken Word, Word of Mouth on CKLN. You're listening to 88.1 FM, Revolutionary Radio. This is your proud anti-psychiatry activist, psych survivor, host Don Weitz for a special edition of Anti-Psychiatry Radio on Friday, September 24th, 2010. Friends, we have a special interview tonight with a psychiatric survivor who went through hell of forced drugging. I will tell you a bit more about Gita Rathnamala, one of the most courageous women I've heard about recently. As many of you know, just by way of introduction, a bit in the way of context, forced drugging with psychiatric drugs, particularly the antidepressants and neuroleptics, so-called antipsychotics, which are really not because they don't combat anything called so-called psychosis, is an epidemic. It's going on, friends, your friends, perhaps you, perhaps a relative has been drugged against your will or without informed consent. There's no, as I've said repeatedly, there's no such thing as informed consent in psychiatry to drugs or anything else. That's because psychiatrists lie by omission. They don't tell you the major effects that are sanitized or minimized as side effects. These are direct effects, you know, like tardive dyskinesia, neuroleptic malignant syndrome, which a friend almost died of after he was forcibly drugged with Haldol in the 90s. We have to expose this, these poisons masquerading as safe and effective medication. I always put quotes around those terms, just as I put quotes around mental illness and any other species of psychiatric diagnosis. Anyway, forced drugging is a form of assault on the human being, and it's brain damaging, particularly if you are prescribed this antidepressants and or neuroleptics. I'm talking about not just the neuroleptics. For example, Abilify, which is one of the drugs. I don't know whether Gita will be talking about it, but I just want you to know that some of the major effects of Abilify are pretty horrendous, manufactured by Speechem, or rather Smith, I think it's Smith's, Klein and Beecham, but I could be wrong. Anyway, without ado, I want to welcome, and if you're there, Gita, are you there on the online? No, but we're not there yet. Well, and maybe we will get to her soon, but I want to, she's in Pittsburgh, and she was forcibly drugged two times at least in the last 3 years when she was, and she'll tell you more about that, when she was forced into a psychiatric institution in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I want to read to you some of the effects of Abilify, a so-called safe and effective neuroleptic you can get, and this is from the web. Fever, stiff muscles, confusion, sweating, faster and even heartbeats, jerky muscle movements you cannot control, sudden numbness or weakness, headache, confusion, problems with vision, speech or balance, increased thirst or urination, loss of appetite, fruity breath odor, drowsiness, dry skin, nausea, vomiting, seizures, convulsions, thoughts of hurting yourself, feeling you might pass out, jaundice, that's yellowing of the skin or eyes, urine and choke, and less frequent effects. I read you the frequent effects first. Choking or trouble swallowing, dizziness, drowsiness, weakness, constipation, mild stomach upset, headache, anxiety, sleep problems, or insomnia, weight gain. How's that for a so-called safe and effective drug approved by the Food and Drug Administration? I think the F in food and drug should be forced. F, you know, Food and Drug Administration should be called Forced Drugging Administration, because they promote these vicious drugs, and approved here in Canada by Health Canada. This is just one of 20, 25 different neuroleptics that can cause serious effects. And the doctors don't bother to warn us. So just as they didn't bother to warn, I'm sure you'll hear it from her own mouth when we get her online, from Geeta Rathnamala in Pittsburgh. We're still trying to get a hold of her, right, Susie? And if everybody there hangs in, we certainly hope to have this special interview with Geeta. And I know we have her right numbers, so I just hope that she will. I just wanted to mention that this is quite an awesome, a very unusual thing that Geeta has volunteered to do, because she was recently released, as she'll tell you, from a psycho prison, which she will name when we get her on. And it's really astounding to me that she has the stamina and is together enough to volunteer to do an interview, which can be quite painful for her at times. And I hear we have Geeta on the line. Is that right?
Yes, I do.
Oh, Geeta, welcome to CKLN, to Anti-Psychiatry Radio. I hope you're well.
I'm doing very well.
Doing
thank
pretty
you
good.
So much.
Good. Geeta, I just told our listeners just before you came on, just a snippet of information that you had been in these psycho prison or psychiatric hospital in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And you were twice drugged against
three
your
times.
Will, or maybe more times.
Three times.
And that's amazing. And I told our listeners, of course, that you have amazing, and I'll tell you that I respect you so much for your awesome courage and willing to talk about this.
Thank you so
about
much.
What happened.
And thank I just wanted to first thank everyone for all their support from all over the world.
Uh-huh. Yes, well, we were to get into that campaign to free you, right?
Yes, that's right.
And you can give yourself a huge pat on the back or wherever.
I'm patting myself on the back right now.
Because you refused. You certainly tried to refuse, which takes a lot of guts. So
thank
can you.
You
tell, when? What would you like to start with? Would you like to tell us a little bit about your first hospitalization, or would you want
sure.
to, on the second one? Because this was in 2000.
The second one are kind of very much the same.
This was in 2007, right?
2007.
Yes.
What happened was I started to have a sinus infection. Somehow I couldn't sleep, and I was crying. No. I thought my cousin, Aruna, was being molested by her father, and I wanted to protect her.
Yeah.
And a supposed friend, really somebody that I had known only for a couple of months, an Indian girl, was able to put me in Western Psych. And when I got out a month later, I realized that my cousin Aruna wasn't the one who was the victim.
Yes.
I was the victim.
That's right.
That my father had been the perpetrator. He had never accomplished anything, but he had certainly tried from day one, from when I was a baby. And when I confronted him, he involuntarily committed me again. And all he had to do, it's so easy in Allegheny County in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, all he had to do was just say, oh, she came to my office and she hit me and she said she will try to kill me. That's
Someone's
all he had to write down, and they put me in again.
Who said they were they're trying to kill you? Who?
And my father said that I told him I would kill him.
Oh,
that's
this is what your father
say.
Said. Then.
There was no witness.
Oh, I see.
It was his word against mine.
Yes.
And they believe him over me.
Well, this just shows you the patriarchy in psychiatry. Yes, where they generally believe the father or the male figure over the daughter.
Yes,
or over women. Over women. So listen, when you got in, because your father arranged it or forced you in there, right? He committed you, right?
Yes.
What happened now? Can you sort of give us some of the highlights or whatever?
I refused again, and I knew that a second doctor, Dr. Mukesh Saw, was going, it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to sign the second, the forced medication. I mean, second opinion doesn't mean anything. It's just, you know, BS. So I refused to talk to him, and he signed a form again, and I was forcibly, I just sat there. I didn't even fight it. I really believe in Gandhi and, you know, peaceful protest. I just sat there, and they pushed me to the floor, two men.
They pushed you. They assaulted you.
They assaulted me, and they lifted up my nightgown. I wasn't wearing any underwear. And they shot up risperidone into my buttocks.
Risperidone, one of the most vicious drugs on the market.
One of the most vicious.
Yes.
And it made me have Parkinsonian symptoms. And, you know, I was 28 years old, so I had 82, you know, reverse. I looked like I was 82 years old. I had Parkinsonian symptoms. Inward torture. People don't know what it is to be injected with risperidone, you know, when you can't stop moving, you feel like you have worms moving under in your belly, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
You're so restless, and you have some shooting through your arms.
That's,
you want to move your arms, and then you have something shooting through your other arm, so you want to move your other arm.
Yes.
You want to keep walking, and you just keep walking and walking for 24-7. So, drives you nuts.
So, Gita, when or before you were shot up against your will, forcibly drugged with risperidone, did the doctor or any doctor there at Western Psychiatric Institute, I guess that's the name of the place,
yes,
did they inform you or warn you or go through a list of major effects that would be caused by risperidone?
No.
Well, this is typical unfortunately. Well, they've violated your rights there.
Absolutely.
My God. So did the doctor at any time you were going through some very bad effects tell you anything about the drug or alternatives?
Never. No, a nurse gave me the information on the drug, but she told me to keep quiet about it, that they usually don't give that sheet out to anybody.
Huh. So what was on this sheet?
It said, you know, akathisia, restlessness, tremors, all the symptoms that I was experiencing. I didn't need that sheet to know the effect of the drugs because I was experiencing them.
Yes, understood. So how did you get out of that?
Basically, I appealed the decision and I guess I sounded sane on the recording of the hearing, and the drug and the judge just said, let her out, let her go.
This is a hearing? Was this a public hearing, or was it a trial?
No, of course. No, why would it be public?
No, it wouldn't be, would it?
It's on the fourth floor of Western Psychiatric. It's a sham. It's a kangaroo court.
Yes, it's very similar to what we have here. It's called a review board hearing here in Ontario.
Yes.
So they said to let you out. I wondered if, so you were there for how long the first time?
First time for about a month.
A month. Well,
I really want to say, you know, I haven't been in there very long, for 3 months.
Yeah, right.
And I really admire all the folks that have gone through so much. They're the true heroes. You know, I'm just telling my story because I admire all the folks out there who've gone through so much for years on end. And
Gita, they
have survived.
We admire you an awful lot. I can tell you that your name is going to be quite well known here and going to be known much more in Toronto. And I know many people in the United States have an awful lot of respect for your courage and and your ability to survive these psychiatric assaults. Now, Gita, I just want to let our listeners know a bit about your background.
Yes.
Just a bit that you shared with me. You have a master's degree in social work And I was doing it, but I discontinued.
I discontinued because I felt I was being discriminated against. When I went back to school after my involuntary commitment, they asked for a psychiatric evaluation. They asked for a psychiatric evaluation. The University of Pittsburgh asked for a psychiatric evaluation in order to give me an extension on my deadline on my homework and papers. And I know that a same person, my friend Ann Nin, who'd been in the hospital for an accident, a physical ailment, she didn't have to go to get a doctor's note.
Why did they know?
I have to go get a doctor's note?
How did they know that you were in the hospital?
When I got out, Western Psychiatric gave me a note saying I was in there, and it had WPIC on the top.
I see. So that's got into the hands of the University of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Huh. Well, listen, I'll tell you what. Do you feel okay talking about your second hospitalization, or do you want to take...
Yes, I feel okay.
Are you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay.
The second one was really when my father threw it to me. The third one, the most recent one, was when I had a slight fire in the back of my deck. That was the most recent one, again for about a month. This is the one that, you know, that I finally called everyone and let the world know what is happening.
Yeah.
All I did was I had a slight fire in the back of my house. Some policeman took me to Mercy Behavioral Hospital. Don, are you there?
Yes.
They took me to Mercy Behavioral Hospital.
I'm listening.
And I went there voluntarily just to get a hot meal.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let me out.
Why?
I went there voluntarily. They said, there's a program where you can just come and stay and then leave, go shopping, have dinner on the south side, come back. They said that. They told me that. And then once I got in there, I have a feeling they tapped into a system and realized I had some kind of label as bipolar, that I had been in a Western psychiatric institution, and they didn't let me out. So that was a case of kidnapping.
Yes, it sounds like it.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And they are the ones that 302'd me. Some random, stupid worker there.
Yeah.
Just she's wearing stickers on her head. She's not eating dinner, which is not true. I eat very well, thank you very much. She eats too much. She was very fat. I remember that.
Yeah. Okay, so when you got in, when you were committed, when you found yourself in Western Psychiatric Institute and Clinic again. This was this last August, right?
Yes.
This last August. Now, can you tell me, you were what was the reason given to you for locking you up?
Nothing. They just said she's. They have all kinds of labels. She's delusional. She's bipolar. She's religiosity. You know, they can just pull out a string of ridiculous nonsense terms, and they can just keep you in there. You know that.
Yes, I do.
I know that. Everybody who's been in the system knows that they can just... It's like the police. They're like the police.
Exactly.
Nobody knows what all these charges are that the police come up with, and nobody knows what the charges are that the psychiatrics come up with. It's the same thing.
Well, the police, the regular police and the psychiatric police, as I call them, or the psychiatrists work hand in hand. Now, I want you to say, why did Dr. Colleen Bell, I understand, order forced drugging?
I really have no idea.
With Risperdal.
I think she's a second-year resident, and she wanted some kind of, I don't know, maybe she wanted to get A in her residency.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's graded. She wanted to pass or something.
Right.
It's for her. It's a career choice. I'm sure it looked good on her resume to say, I helped cure this woman of a bipolar disorder or something. That's why she ordered it. Now, I have to say, it wasn't just her. She was just a resident, Dr. Gangotra, who later changed his mind. He went along fully.
Right.
And another doctor, I just talked to him for 5 minutes, and he signed the second order. So it wasn't just Colleen Bell. She was just a resident. you know.
Well, I understand that your boyfriend and a number of people, by letter writing campaign or calling through the Mind Freedom International, helped
yes.
to get you released. But you took the first step, I understand, correct, by contacting Mind Freedom International, talking with David Oakes, whom I know.
Yes, absolutely. I knew I was just scared this would happen, and I had already registered with Mind Freedom. I knew about Mind Freedom, what Don Weitz had done. He's just brilliant, and I really admired him from afar, and I joined his movement.
Wow.
And I also joined, you know, I've been with looking at psych rights, what Jim Gottstein has been looking doing up in Alaska, and I really admire
yes.
them, and I've been
yes.
trying to blog, you know, from afar. I've been just admiring them, and it was a kind of a dream come true that these people came to my aid, you know, and showed their concern, their deep concern. And I just wanted to thank everyone, you know. I just want to make sure everyone knows.
We know, and
grateful I am.
I'm so thrilled, actually, to be talking with you and hear, you know, and just and admire your courage so much. Now, what are your, now that you're out, is there, do you have some plans for Wilder?
Yes,
or you're just going
to
take
any... outpatient commitment. I'm currently labeled as severely mentally disabled, and I'm going to take it up to the Supreme Court if I have to.
Oh, yes.
I'm suing UPMC for human rights violations, and I would like to ask your listeners and Mind Freedom supporters, everyone, to keep an eye out for what is going on. I want justice.
Exactly.
I want justice. I'm out.
Absolutely. Now, do you want to talk a little bit, or would you rather not, about your lawsuit? Because I understand
yes,
you are suing some of the doctors.
I am suing 2007.
So do you want to, in a couple minutes,
sure.
Do you want to just summarize?
I filed a medical malpractice lawsuit against UPMC.
Yes.
As a pro se plaintiff, I represent myself. No lawyer would take my case on.
Really?
I got a certificate of merit from wonderful, brilliant psychiatrist in California. And right now it's in the discovery phase where I'm searching for evidence, and I will take them to court. I hope to one day own UPMC.
Good for you.
That is my dream.
We know what I think you'd like to do with that place.
Absolutely. Tear it down, build it back up again.
Well, listen, I think we'll have to take a break. But listen, Geeta, thank you very, very much for taking the time. And I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy
to talk about some of these
very personal experiences. But you have educated a lot of us, I'm sure, and you will continue. And, you know, I wish you a lot of good health. And,
thank you. Thank
and,
you, Don.
And we're in solidarity here with you at CKLN. And,
yes, thank you.
And also CAPA, the Coalition Against Psychiatric Assault, that I'm a member of.
Thank you so much, Don.
And we'll be in touch. Thank you so much.
Take care,
Geeta.
Bye-bye.
So goodbye. And that was Geeta Ratnamala, one of a courageous psychiatric survivor in Pittsburgh, who just got out from the bin, from that psychiatric prison called Western Psychiatric Institute and Clinic, of which there are probably hundreds like that there. And we have our CAMH here, which is similar. So now we're going to take a break, a musical break. I think, Mark, we have that to play, called Bullshit is the name of the CD by Daniel Mackler, who is a practicing psychotherapist up until this year, and I think you'll like hearing what he sings.
They tell me my problem's genetic. I'm born with a flaw in my brain. They tell me I need medication and force me to bury my pain. Bullshit, bullshit, I've learned to smell bullshit from miles and miles. Bullshit, bullshit. to smell bullshit from miles. Their pills make me shaky and sweaty. I fear that they're breaking my will. They told me that this is quite normal and added another new pill. Bullshit, bullshit. I've learned to smell bullshit from miles and miles. Bullshit, bullshit. I've learned to smell bullshit from miles. They put me inside a straitjacket. They locked me inside of a cage. They inject me with Haldol to calm me, yet wonder why I'm full of rage. Bullshit, bullshit. I've learned to smell bullshit from miles and miles. Bullshit, bullshit. I've learned to smell bullshit from miles. They give me a shrink I can talk to, but she is just spiritually dead. She only repeats the same question. Are you still taking your meds? Bullshit, bullshit. I've learned to smell bullshit from miles and miles. Bullshit, bullshit. I've learned to smell bullshit from miles. They force-fed me Efall or Tory, but he is sadistic and gross. I asked them about Peter Bragan. They replied by increasing my dose. Bullshit, bullshit. I've learned to smell bullshit from miles and miles. Bullshit, bullshit. I've learned to smell bullshit from miles.
And that was the CD, Bullshit, about psychiatry, an anti-psychiatry stance, which we don't often hear enough of, friends, as we know, on CDs, on the mainstream. But this was not mainstream. This is by someone who's been, and he happened to be, a psychotherapist, which we usually don't quote from very often on anti-psychiatry, but there are some. Daniel Mackler. So I'm going to have to give Daniel Mackler a big thank you, and Mark Brill, who brought this very good anti-psychiatry song against the forced drugging and psychiatry and the damn fraudulent psychiatric labels. I was particularly interested when Mackler mentions the name of Dr. Peter Bregan, and then the dire consequences that happened after a survivor mentioned his name, because Bregan happened to be one of those few psychiatrists who's very outspoken against psychiatric drugs, or at least exposing them, as well as big pharma and electroshock and anything that's coercive in and harmful in psychiatry, which is a hell of a lot. Well, I want to end now with a brief announcement, friends. Tomorrow, I hope many of you go to Queen and Shaw here in Toronto. There'll be an unveiling sponsored, organized by Psychiatric Survivor Archives, plaques that were written by my good friend and historian Jeffrey Rayom, who's a co-founder of Psychiatric Survivor Archives in Toronto, as well as Mel Starkman and myself, that there'll be a memorial to the hundreds, perhaps many more, of psych survivors who weren't called that back in the 1890s and later, who built the walls, who were not paid. They were, you know, they were just exploited economically to build these damn walls that pen them in like a prison. Fortunately, one is being saved, at least on the east side. So you will see, and as a matter of fact, there's more walls that are standing. But if you go there at 1 o'clock tomorrow, please, and you can participate with us in a, what promises to be a very moving memorial to our brothers and sisters who were economically exploited at the Toronto Lunatic Asylum, or what is called the Insane Asylum in Toronto in the late 19th century and after. So that's it for now, and stay tuned. Keep it locked for Maria Elena on Ventana Barrios. And she talks better Spanish than I do, but Maria Elena. But stay tuned. You're listening to 88.1 FM, CKLN FM, a revolutionary radio for the people. I'll be back in 2 weeks, 6:30. Stay well, stay out of the psychiatric system, and stand up for your rights. Bye-bye for now.